Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. It's the 24th of January. It's the day after all of the details of the appalling events in Southport on the 29th of July, 2024, have been revealed. And what has also been revealed is that Britain's soft communist, semi-Stalinist, woke government and woke regime never, ever learns. Having suppressed the full details of what happened on the 29th of July, they have all been revealed in one day, thus shocking and re-traumatizing the parents of the children involved, and the British people themselves. And the government, having suppressed what happened, is now trying to suppress the full details of what has happened, such that it doesn't force the British people to wake up. And that's what I'm going to look at today. Before I do so, could I ask that you do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube? And could you leave a like? Could you hit the bell button? Could you share the video? All that kind of thing. It really helps you do that. And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's thejollyheretic.com, where I put all of the most base content, where I put stuff I can't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, where I put vlogs, where I put live streams, which are at 7 p.m. on Mondays. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. But basically, please subscribe. It's you know, for you and people that aren't YouTubers, you cannot understand how helpful that is. Anyway, back to the video. So, as I say, they just don't learn. The British government are trying to suppress what has happened yet again. Yet again. And they are doing so through a combination of lying and knowing that the threats and threats of imprisonment and all this kind of stuff don't work, and knowing that they can no longer rely on contempt of court that as a justification for suppressing things, their new method is just emotional blackmail. Emotional blackmail. Lying and emotional blackmail. And that's what I want to look at. So, a number of people have reported blow by blow, as it were, on Twitter, so Charlie Bentley Astor as an example, exactly what was coming from the courts. The full appalling details need to be reported, because if they're not reported, then all you can't imagine it. You just think, oh, these some girls were stabbed, how terrible. The British people will only be radicalised and only be woken up to the full insanity of what woke policies, of what multiculturalism, of what this maladaptive nonsense has brought upon them, if the details are reported, if a full picture is painted. That is the kind of thing that will be consciousness raising. That is the kind of thing that will wake people up. And that is exactly what, as I will show you, the British government are now trying to stop through emotional blackmail and lies. I mean, let us look at the details of what has happened. It's almost unbelievable. Axel Rudakabana stated, once he was arrested for having killed these three little girls and maimed a number of others, "I'm glad they're dead." He asked, how old was the youngest person he's killed? He was told that she was six. This was Bebe King. And he laughed. He was found to have a machete and a bow and arrow and ricin under his bed. He said, "It's good that they're dead. I'm so glad. I'm happy." I mean, this is just wickedness beyond belief. But it gets worse when we look at exactly what he did. He must have been in a kind of psychotic state of dissociation, a kind of self-hypnotized bloodlust, where he decided that he because he had perhaps felt that he had been wronged by the British people, I don't know, that he would kill as many people as possible. There were 27 children at this event, and that to create the maximum havoc and the maximum pain to optimally terrorise the British people, he would start with the youngest. He literally went for the youngest. There were girls at that Taylor Swift dance class that were 10, 11. He wasn't interested in those. He went for the youngest. Many of them had wounds, or most of them actually, had wounds to the back. So this implies you can imagine this guy coming in. He finds a little girl on the stairwell who survived, and he starts attacking her. She runs out. He grabs her and pulls her back in. She ended up with, this girl of about six, 32 stab wounds. 32 stab wounds. She survived, thank goodness. But when her father came to pick her up or whatever, and found her lying on the ground in agony, he asked her if she had a brother. And he did this because he didn't recognise that it was his own daughter. That was the state that she was in. She was covered in blood. Her blonde hair was matted in blood so that it was brown. She was covered in wounds. He didn't even recognise her. Now, if she fortunately survived, though you can imagine how traumatised she will be for life, Elsie Dot Stancombe did not. She was subject to 85 stab wounds. 85. He started stabbing her. He then got her onto the floor. There were numerous defensive wounds here. So this six-year-old girl is being held down by this 17-year-old, tall, muscular, psychotic Rwandan. And she's doing her best to defend herself, probably originally thinking he was playing a game or something, because one of the little girls that was six said that she originally thought it must be some kind of game. And he's stabbing her and stabbing her and stabbing her, and she's dead eventually, and she's 85 wounds. He's still stabbing her. He's still stabbing her. He's still stabbing her. Defense wounds to the upper limb, 85 times, this seven-year-old girl. Then we have Bebe King. She was stabbed 120 times. First in the back, i.e. she was trying to escape, and then of course, all over her body. I mean, there would have been nothing of her left. Try to imagine what the corpse of a six-year-old girl would look like when it had been stabbed hard. These were noticed to be hard wounds, hard stabs, 120 times. It would barely be anything left. But this is what he did. And then, and this is almost almost unbelievable, he found a nine-year-old, Alice da Silva Aguirre, and he stabbed her. We don't have the number of stab wounds, but he stabbed her with such force that the stabs went through her ribs, i.e. they broke bones. That is the level of force with which he was attacking these little girls. And then we have eight others that were injured, the adults, two adults, and then six other children, all of them stabbed in the back, i.e. they were running away and he ran after them and stabbed them in the back. And they are trying to suppress this information because this was being reported. And then suddenly, Merseyside police put out a press release in which they said, "We are aware of social media posts online detailing the injuries sustained by the girls who died and those injured in the attack in Southport on 29th of July 2024. The families of the little girls specifically asked that those details not be reported. The families of Bebe, Alice and Elsie and all those affected in the tragedy have faced unimaginable grief and trauma in the months since the attacks and do not need their suffering compounded by reckless posts on social media. Please do not post or share detailed accounts of the injuries they sustained. Thank you." Now, this is a complete and utter lie. That was posted on Twitter while the families were sat in court. The families were asked by the judge before the details of what happened were read out if they would like to leave the court because they found it too upsetting. They chose not to leave the court. They were brave enough to sit through it. They would previously have been told, obviously, of the details of what happened to their daughters, to their daughter and to other of those who were injured. they would not have had internet access in the court to know that this information was being shared online. If they had asked that the details not be publicly broadcast, there would have been a press release sent to the newspapers and so forth requesting that this be the case. This did not happen. There was no press release. There was just suddenly a release that was sent round during the reporting, while it was being reported in real time on Twitter by people such as Charlie, asking people to stop reporting it and saying that the parents had asked it not be reported. So that is obviously nonsense. That's obviously a lie. How could the parents have possibly known that it was being put online? How could they possibly have suddenly asked during the trial, while sitting there in the public gallery, that it not continue to be reported? Why would it be put out while it was being reported in real time, rather than before it had the possibility of being reported? It's obviously a total lie. The parents made no such request. Merseyside police were obviously put upon by the government or whatever to make this request because of supposed consequences that I will look at in a minute. But it's a complete lie. And then you have the emotional manipulation, the emotional blackmail, just in case you're not prepared to swallow their lie, which of course implies it's a lie. Because if it was true, then you just state that the parents have asked that it not be reported. That should be enough. There should be no need for extra emotional blackmail. But we have this extra emotional blackmail talking and other manipulative tactics, saying that that their parents have been through enough and they don't need you re-report, recklessly re-reporting it. That's interesting. That to report the truth is reckless. And that word gives away so much as to what the attitude of the authorities is. So, we know they've lied. Oh, then it was said, oh, well, it's because it all came out in one day and it was so shocking and that's why they've asked you, that's why they don't want it all in the public record. What? It came out in one day because the government made the decision not to release the details of what had happened, as would normally happen with a trial, before the trial took place. That's why it came out in one day. It's the government's fault that it came out in one day. And then, when he pleads guilty, and it does all come out in one day, rather than via a slow drip, then they are concerned. They're not concerned for the feelings of the parents. These are the people that have told the parents not to go to the newspapers, not to give interviews, not to say anything. And I have told witnesses, likewise, not to say anything, not to go to the newspapers, have silenced them until now. The concern is that it's all coming out in one go, and this will incite dissent among the British people. And the concern is that the details themselves are so shocking and so appalling and so gory and so frightening that they will incite dissent among the British people. And that is why they don't want them published. And that is why they don't want them in the public record. And that is why they don't want the transcripts published. And that is why they have asked the newspapers not to publish the details. That is why. Obviously. It's incredible that the degree to which they seem to think that the British people are just utterly stupid. Do they not understand now that particularly post the coup, we do not, a significant portion of people who used to just say, oh, the police says it must be true. Oh, the government says it must be true. Oh, the BBC has said it must be true. Now think the opposite. The BBC has said something, it may well be a lie. The police have said something, it may well be a lie. The government, Angela Rayner has said, this is definitely not a terrorist incident. It's a lie to say it's anything to do with Islam. It may well be a lie. And this is a lie. And the reason they don't want the full details published is because it is only by knowing the full details that people will potentially wake up and react strongly against the insanity of multiculturalism, against the insanity of people who are completely genetically and culturally and religiously different trying to live together, when we know from all the relevant research that all this leads to is conflict, when we know that a multicultural society is the period of time between the first foreigner moving in and the last native moving out. We know that because we're humans and that's how humans operate. They want to be with people like them, and there will be conflict if they are not with people like them. And they know that only that these dramatic events are consciousness raising. These dramatic events will cause people to, and they need the details to picture it and understand it, and thus to stop being indoctrinated with nonsense and to understand what's going on. And they thought, having done all this suppression with regard to Southport, they could do it again with regard to the reporting of the details. They never learn.
Are you ready for the future of the West?